Hey guys, this is John McLaughlin, and you're listening to The Positive Psychology of Pop Music.
Hey there, I'm Wesley Ryan, and you are listening to a brand new episode of The Positive Psychology of Pop Music, the podcast and radio show full of moving songs from your favorite artists and the inspiring stories behind them. I discovered the artist we're spotlighting this week almost exactly 10 years ago to the day, and his music has had a tremendous impact on my life and millions of others ever since. His name is John McLaughlin, and I was thrilled when he took some time out from preparing for not one, but two upcoming tours to chat with me about some of his most inspiring tracks. Before we get to my interview with John, please allow me to introduce you to his amazing musical talent if you're not yet familiar. I'm kicking off the show this week with a song called The Beginning, for a few reasons. One, I mean, it's called The Beginning, so kind of makes sense. Two, this instrumental piece was the first track on his most recent studio effort, Like Us, and I absolutely love it when an album starts with an instrumental song that beautifully sets the tone for the rest of the record. And three, The Beginning transitions into my favorite track from that album, which puts John's ability to inspire through his words, his piano, and his voice front and center. Get ready for a solid hour of songs and stories from John that will do exactly that. But for now, let's kick things off with the appropriately titled The Beginning and the very moving Before You.
I was excited to get to talk to you because I've been a fan of yours ever since I heard Beautiful Disaster so many years ago.
Oh, thank you.
There's a lot of artists I've gotten to talk to who just make great music, but your music especially is just so full of inspiring messages. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the message of that song and why you think it's so important we build self-esteem in young people.
You know, that song is, I wrote that with a guy named Jamie Houston, who actually ended up producing most of that record, Indiana. And, I got the idea for it because I was flying out to L.A. to write with Jamie, and I landed at the airport, and I saw this magazine as I was, like, waiting on a car to come pick me up. I was just looking through the magazines, and there was a girl on the cover of this magazine that I can't remember which magazine it was, but she was so skinny. It was like, I did, like, a double take. She was so thin, and I read the front of it thinking this must be, like, an issue about, you know, eating disorders or anorexia or something, and it didn't say anything about it, and that just really, like, struck me. And so, you know, I go over to Jamie's place. We're sitting in the studio, and he's like, you know, what do you get some ideas for some songs? I'm like, yeah, I do, but I actually, like, I came in with some ideas, but I can't stop thinking about this magazine that I saw in the airport. And then we ended up writing the song, and it came really quickly, and, you know, it's written from a, like, 17-year-old girl's perspective, but it's, like, it's such a universal thing, because really, like you said, the deeper issue is self-esteem and self-worth, and, you know, we get so, you know, just consumed and obsessed with our own bodies, and we link that to so many, you know, we link that to our value, and that's such a backwards, you know, way of looking at ourselves and looking at life, and I think it can really, like, it can really kick you down. So I think if we can tackle that, you know, with ourselves and get, have, like, a healthy image of our, you know, ourselves and our value and our, what is important in this world, I think that we can be better people.
She just needs someone to take her home.
Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons why I love music as much as I do, because I grew up with a lot of negative messages, and music was really what helped me battle my low self-esteem. So I wanted to see what impact music had on you when you were growing up.
I mean, like, my first memories of music kind of come in a couple different forms. Like, I'm the youngest of three, and so my older sister and older brother, they were taking drum lessons and flute, voice, piano, like, you know, all kinds of stuff. Music was just in the house. My dad was in a band. He actually met my mom on tour. They, like, met at a show, you know, and, like, his dad was a musician. So it's just all, music is just all-encompassing in our family, and I did a lot of plays and musicals when I was growing up, and so I think music was just a way. It wasn't necessarily a way out because I didn't have like a hard upbringing. I had a great family and all that, but it was just this kind of like, it was definitely linked to this idea that like you can do whatever you want, you can write whatever song you want, you can, you know, be in a musical and play any character you want. It was just this kind of like, and has been sort of this way of staying like a kid. You know, I'm 34 years old and I'm still kind of doing the same thing that I've always done my entire life. Which is, you know, tonight I'm in Toledo, Ohio. I'll be sitting at a piano playing some songs I wrote, you know. So it's, to me, music has just been so freeing and so like accepting. And it's kind of helped me navigate through the world in a really beautiful way.
Yeah, well, I love that music has always been such an important part of your life. So I imagine, I read that you broke your wrists when you were a teenager.
Yeah. You know, that's kind of funny when that happened because, ironically, you know, I was 16 and I was in high school. I was really into sports, and not because I was good at them, but more so because it was high school and I felt like, you know, that was like the blip of time where it's like, I felt like music maybe wasn't the coolest thing in the world. And like going to my piano lesson on Thursday nights is not like the cool thing to do. So I had been playing piano, you know, for, gosh, 10 years at that point, over 10 years. So I was just kind of tired of it, kind of burned out, and I was begging my parents to just let me quit. And they would always patiently talk me back into it. This was like a weekly ritual. And then one night in January, you know, can't remember what year it was, but I was rollerblading and broke both my arms at the same time. And so that was, so I literally couldn't play the piano for a couple months. And then my parents sort of let up and they didn't, you know, force me back into the piano as soon as I got the casts off. I think they sensed like this was a sensitive time. But the day that I got my casts off, my mom and dad went and bought me a Fender Strat and brought it home, and that was like my gift when my cast came off, because I think they were just like racking their brains thinking, we've got to keep him in music somehow, you know, and he's burnt out on the piano, so let's keep him interested. But, and thank God that they did, but yeah, they were always super supportive. But that time when I broke my arms was actually, it kind of gave me a little bit of a break that I needed, no pun intended.
Well, I was actually talking with Secret Garden's Finola Sherry, and she was at a point in her career where she was questioning whether she should continue, and she literally fell and broke both of her hands. And, you know, she's a violinist and just an amazing performer.
Yeah.
And just the timing of it, you know, just made her kind of shift her perspective and realize how much it meant to her. So I saw a lot of parallels with your story and hers.
That's crazy. Yeah. I can't imagine if it hadn't happened. I mean, I'm so grateful that it did.
I can only imagine how grateful John is that his injury actually helped shape the perspective that would lead his music to where it is today. I know I'm certainly grateful he had that experience, and I try to be grateful for the difficult times that have come my way as well. It's certainly not easy, especially when you're in the middle of those painful moments, but I know firsthand that some of the most positive things can come out of the most negative. This show, and several of the amazing moments it's personally brought into my life, wouldn't exist if I hadn't gone through something very difficult myself that made me reassess my own perspective and decide to put my time into what brought the most joy into my life. Again, it's certainly not easy, but being able to turn negativity and pain into something positive and meaningful can be one of the most beautiful and fulfilling parts of life. The track I'm about to play for you not only contains my favorite piano performance from John, but also demonstrates his ability to channel his pain and emotion into a beautiful song. With the very moving title track from his debut album, this is John McLaughlin with Indiana.
Where every day is a battle to convince myself that I'm glad she never fell in love with me.
Well, to go from that and then, you know, fast forward some years and you're playing so close at the Academy Awards, what was that moment like?
Man, that was the most nervous I've ever been in my life. I've never had, like, Yeah, I mean, I remember being like, 6 years old and being my heart racing because I'm playing at my little, tiny little recital at my piano teacher's house, with all the parents are sitting in the living room. So I've had like lots of moments where I've gone and performed and I've been so nervous and, and then I, get out of college, I sign a record deal, I'm on the road all the time, I'm playing shows, and I'm never nervous anymore. And then I go and play the Academy Awards, and all of a sudden, I remember standing backstage, the curtains closed, standing up on my little platform with my mic. I can hear Patrick Dempsey, like, muffled through on the other side of the curtain, introducing me. And I'm like, I am so nervous right now. Like, my heart was beating so fast. And then, of course, as soon as this song starts, you forget about it, and it was amazing. I mean, I wish I could go back to that moment. It was such a special, 3 minutes of my life.
Well, I'm sure that was very intense and brief, but, now with So Close, you're part of this eternal Disney music legacy that, will be with kids for years to come. What is that like?
It's so true, yeah. And it's funny because, as a musician, I always thought, I want to go to the Grammy someday. So the Academy Awards wasn't as amazing as it was. It wasn't necessarily like on my radar, So it's such this random thing that just kind of happened and fell into my lap. And I'm a huge Disney fan, like Alan Menken, and Stephen Schwartz, those guys are amazing. So to sing that song and to be a part of, the Disney legacy. And I mean, I think every night at Disneyland, they do a World of Color. It's like this show that they do every night, and that the song is a part of the show. So it literally goes on and on and on. I'm so lucky and grateful to have done that.
You're in my arms, and all the world is calm. The music plays.
Well, another collaboration that I love from you was Summer Is Over with Sarah Bareilles. What was it like working with her?
Yeah, Sarah's awesome. I met her actually when both of our first records had just come out, and I didn't know her, but our management, hooked us up, and so we did a tour together back in 07, back when we were both like, in beat up vans, and I think she was in like a beat up van with like a rented U-Haul trailer, so this is like at the beginning, and we became, good friends, and both of our bands just like gelled together so great. So it was such a great tour, and we've, been friends and kept in touch ever since. And when I was writing that record, Promising Promises, I was writing this song, Summer Is Over, and I actually recorded just me at first and put the record out. And then as I was listening to it more and more, I thought this really should be a duet. And so I called up Sarah, and she was actually in the studio working on a record herself. So I just sent her the files, and she sent me a bunch of takes. And obviously it was amazing because she is just an unbelievable talent. And so it was great. I love that we did it. I love that we shot the video. We actually shot two videos because we shot the first one. We didn't like it, so we got together again and shot, the second video. And it's great. She's come out and sang the song live with us, and it's another one of those, just like the Academy Awards, just another one of those things that sometimes I think about and I'm like, it's amazing that I get to do this.
Back when I met you, and your eyes were green, and we were two, but summer is over.
With that song and with so many of the songs that you've sung and you've written, there's just such a university of emotion. It's applicable to so many people and situations. And I've always loved your song Human, but I actually just read a blog you did for Believe Out Loud, I think it was called. I'm an openly gay man who was raised in a very unaccepting environment. And so what really helped me was when my straight friends and family stood up for me and voiced their support. So personally, I just wanted to thank you for being such a vocal supporter, and then to also see why you think it's so important that we embrace people for who they are.
That blog post was really good for me to write. I think that we have such universal experiences. When you really boil it down, whether it's your sexuality or whether it's, being in third grade and wanting to play your piano in front of your class, or whatever it is, we all have these insecurities and we all, get judged out in the public with our friends and abroad and all that. And acceptance is universal and paramount. And I think that there's so much that we can learn from each other. Whether or not somebody loves my music or whether or not somebody agrees with everything that I believe, I think an open and accepting conversation is the end goal. So that blog was really good for me to write, and it's had a really good, response, and I hope that it's, can be another tiny little baby step forward.
After all, we're only human, always fighting.
For so long, the message that I received is that you can't be spiritual or religious and gay, that those two were opposed. And so, you say this very well with your music as well, that we're all the same. There's so much that we have in common that makes those differences really not matter. And something else that we have in common is that we all need help, and that's not always the easiest thing to ask for. So I wanted to talk to you about the inspiration for We All Need Saving, because that's probably my favorite song from you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you know what? That's actually one of those songs where, and this happens every now and then, where you just write a song and it just comes out and you don't know where it came from, I mean, I write so many songs where like Beautiful Disaster was something where I see something, I'm inspired by it, and then I write the song so I know where it came from. And then on the other end of the spectrum, I have songs that I just like beat to death until I make it a song. And, and those typically aren't ever great songs. They don't make records. But We All Need Saving is one of those songs where I wrote it. I was at home, my wife and I, and she actually had some friends over and they were hanging out. And so I was sitting in in our like guest room. And it's funny, I actually remember that they were all hanging out and having a good time and they were being really loud. And I'm trying to write this song. And so I actually went into our tiny little closet in our guest room. So I'm sitting in this closet with a guitar, and that song just came out. And it's one of those songs where I don't know where it came from. And I actually tried to record it several different ways, like full band, like lots of different kind of styles. And then it was months later, again, late at night, I'm trying to figure this song out, and I just start recording, stacking these vocals of these oohs on top of one another, and then that's kind of where I found it. And that may be the most, I maybe get more comments every day, even still now, like almost 10 years later, about that song more than any other song. And again, I think it's just one of those songs that just kind of like taps into people's, it's kind of universal, it's not super specific, and it can apply to so many different situations. And so people really responded with that song, which always, feels great. That's the end goal. If I can write a song that means something to someone and helps them in some way, it doesn't get any better than that.
Well, I've struggled with depression and suicide, throughout my life, and I have a very vivid memory of just crying at my computer and then just coming across that song and then just feeling so understood and that I wasn't alone. So, just on a personal level, thank you for that. It's a very important song for me.
Oh man, well thank you for saying that. That makes my day.
Well, don't tell yourself you can't lean on someone else, 'cause we all need saving sometimes.
I want to lighten it up a little bit too, because your music has certainly changed lives, but you also know how to have fun, as evidenced by your video for Don't Mess With My Girl, which was hilarious.
Thank you. It was the most fun I have ever had making a video. I mean, making videos, in my opinion, it's tough. Like I said, Sarah and I made that first video, and we get it back, and it's just, we don't dig it. It's just tough to make a video. I'm my own worst critic, so it's hard for me to, I hate photo shoots. I hate picking out photos for, artwork and stuff like that. And that was one where I was like, I'm just gonna look like an idiot the whole time. I wear turtlenecks and giant glasses, and it was so fun. I made it with some friends of mine up in Indianapolis, this guy named Owen Thomas and Jared Sparkman, and it was incredible. I've never had more fun making a video than that day.
If you mess with my girl, you leave me with no choice. I might have to raise my voice, get all up in your face to put you out in your place. If you mess with my girl, guess who's gonna mess with you? 150 pounds.
Welcome back to the Positive Psychology of Pop Music, where this week we're spotlighting the beautiful and inspiring artist that is John McLaughlin. You just heard Don't Mess With My Girl, a track from his most recent album, Like Us, which if you haven't checked out that video, please stop what you are doing and check it out now. It is 3 minutes and 45 seconds of pure hilarity and charm, and I guarantee you won't regret it. I'd also love it if you went to jonmcl.com to find out how you can not only catch John on tour, but also a great band who he's been hoping to hit the road with for a long time.
You're also, you know, touring with 10th Avenue North and Brandon Heath. How excited are you to be hitting the road with those guys?
Man, I'm really excited. Jeff Owen, the guitar player in that band, he and I have been best friends since fifth grade. So we've talked about going on the road together forever, and we've never done it. So this is long overdue.
No mistake inside can be reborn, 'cause I'm one. I got a funny feeling everything's gonna be okay. All of my worries suddenly fading away.
You just heard 10th Avenue North with Warren and John McLaughlin with You and I. Two moving tracks that will hopefully inspire you to check them both out this fall as they hit the road together for the very first time. We've spent a lot of time reflecting on John's amazing 10-year musical career in the last hour, but I have no doubt you'll be as happy as I was to learn there is definitely much more music from John on the way very soon.
Well, have you had a chance to think about what's coming up after the tour? Any new music?
Yeah, you know, I've been working for a while on Christmas stuff and a new record that's going to be out next year, Christmas stuff for this year, so there's a ton going on, but there's a lot of touring up now. I just started a tour yesterday with Postmodern Jukebox and Straight No Chaser. We're going to be out for the next 5 weeks, I think. And then I jump on that tour with 10th Avenue North and Brandon. And then I'm going to Europe later this year. So there's a lot of stuff going on. So I got to squeeze in some recording sessions at some point, but there's lots of new stuff coming out.
I cannot wait to hear new music from John and to catch him on tour with Postmodern Jukebox and again with 10th Avenue North and Brandon Heath this fall. Remember to check out jonmcl.com for all of the music you've heard in the last hour and to keep tabs on John's upcoming tour dates and projects. And remember, you can head to thepositivepsychologyofpopmusic.com for more inspiring music and exclusive interviews with other great artists like John. New episodes drop every Wednesday at thepositivepsychologyofpopmusic.com and on iTunes. We've gotten a little heavy at times in the last hour, so I want to leave you with an upbeat and uplifting track that I know will put a little kick in your step. It's almost always music that does that for me, and music is at the heart of everything I love and everything I do. Whatever it is that brings you that comfort and happiness, I hope that it keeps beating your heart in the same way music does mine. For the Positive Psychology of Pop Music, I'm Wesley Ryan, and with Beating My Heart, this is John McLaughlin.